Wake up with Power FM's Brad and Hutsy.
Last night, the Australian Open wrapped up with the men's singles final between Spaniard Rafael Nadal and Russia's Daniil Medvedev.
Yes, no emotion from Daniil Medvedev as per usual.
Oh, he got pretty emotional the other night playing Stefanos Tsitsipas. But obviously, Rafa making history. 21st Grand Slam.
21st Grand Slam.
So he's the first.
He's broken away from
him, Federer, and Djokovic.
Yeah, they were all locked on 20
last
night.
So you can understand why Novak put up such a fight, you know, trying to stay in Australia to play at the Open. What would have happened if he's remained? I guess we'll never know. Mm-hmm. But outside of the rallies between Rafa and Daniil last night, there was more drama courtside, Hutsy. I don't know if you saw this. Channel 7 apparently, like, cut away. Like, they refused to show this. But there was a guy, a member of the crowd, who jumped from the stands and plummeted 3 meters to center court.
Dangerous.
And he was holding a banner that said, abolish refugee detention. So again, I'm not sure if that was another of Novak's fans. So it's like, mate, that was 2 weeks ago. He's not here anymore.
He's
like,
gone.
He's left the hotel. He's back in Serbia. What are you doing? Obviously trying to draw attention to refugee detention. I agree that refugee detention should be abolished, but I don't know if it's the best place to try and get your message out. Centre Court. Rod Laver Arena.
Yeah.
I don't know if there's a place for it.
It's happened in the past. There's actually been quite a few protests over the years where people have somehow managed to get on court and they just sit down with the tape over their mouth and things like that, or hold up a banner. Even in Nick Kyrgios's match in the doubles final, there was a guy in the crowd yelling out stuff, and Nick Kyrgios walked over and ordered security to throw him out.
Really?
He just kept pointing and said, nah, he's gone, and eventually, gone.
Whatever happened to just holding up a sign behind Poshy's head in the window at sunrise, you know?
Well, you sit there on the phone and you start
waving.
Yeah, so
wave,
hey, everyone.
You know? Yeah. No, but this guy, he jumped 3 meters. Obviously, that's quite a considerable height. I imagine he probably staged a sit-down protest after that because his legs wouldn't work. Security actually had to drag him away. So at one point, John Fitzgerald, one of the commentators, was like, I think he might have injured himself. The courtside mics did pick up a little bit of what happened with the protester.
I think my legs might be broken, but I'll try to stand up. Oh, yes, they are broken.
They just hauled him away. So really sort of, you know, sad that he sort of tried to use the event in that way, I suppose.
Yeah.
I'm like, and really, banners just don't get it done anymore. If you want to draw attention to the refugee detention issue, I would suggest next time, if you want to do it at the tennis, just show up with a T-shirt that says, where's Peng Shui? Also, what about refugee detention?
Yeah.
You know, and then you'll probably get media coverage all around the world.
Power FM's Brad and Hutsy, weekdays from 6.
Even the most basic of person knows you go overseas to another country, you have to follow their rules and regulations. If you're going to go on the roads as well, you can still lose, you know, points. You can still get fines on the road if you're doing the wrong thing. An international license is something you need if you're going overseas.
Mm.
I found this out the hard way when I went to Bali way back in 2011. Didn't have that. Riding the scooter. Police pulled me over, and then I copped a $25 fine. And me being me, I was trying to haggle it down to $20, but that didn't go too well. So my friends were freaking out.
$20, throwing a Bintang T-shirt.
Didn't work whatsoever. But obviously, diplomats don't have that problem. After I did see this story, apparently, diplomats who are visiting Australia are kind of immune when it comes to our laws and things, because over the last couple of years, 51 diplomats have basically accrued around 400 points they would have lost from their license just in the last couple of years.
Mm.
Because obviously some of these people shouldn't even have a license, I reckon, as well. But
don't they have people to drive them around? I thought when diplomats came to, like, we'll go to other countries, they usually are in a black sedan with the tiny flags on the front. And, you know, then someone's driving it for them. They sit in the back and make important phone calls.
I would imagine that's probably the case for some of the bigger countries. Maybe some of the smaller ones can't actually. Maybe it's not in the budget for that sort of thing. But if you're wondering which country is the worst, take a listen to this.
A driver from Bosnia was caught going more than 45 kilometres over the limit.
Jesus.
A Ukrainian diplomat incurred 17 demerit points. But the worst embassy by far, Saudi Arabia, accumulating more than 30 speeding fines over a few years. 13 drivers let off with a warning. 3 had their licences suspended.
God.
Saudi Arabia, though. What are you going to do? What are you going to say with those guys? You might get your hands cut off or something.
Don't say anything about those guys.
Maybe just try and stick to the speed limit next time. But it's gotten so bad with Saudi Arabia. They've actually had to pen letters to the Saudi Arabian embassy questioning how some of these people even got their licenses because some of them are that bad.
Jeez.
It's absolutely nuts, is it?
They should require them to have, like, a local driver when they come.
Yeah, it's plenty.
Just show them how to download the Uber app when they come to Australia. Like, just use that. Stick with that.
Yeah, I reckon.
Get a maxi taxi next time. That'll, reduce your chances of killing someone.
Maybe it's things where you've got, maybe in their own country, they get driven around it, and then they come to Australia. It's like, finally, I get to get behind the wheel and tear it up in another country. Indicators. What the hell is that? Who knows what that is?
But how do they get away with it, though? Like, that's purely because of their diplomatic status. Like,
that's exactly how it is. Like, literally, have a listen to this. There's little that police can actually do.
Under international law, diplomats have immunity from local prosecution, which means they don't have to pay the fines and can't go to jail.
That's outrageous.
Get a free pass.
What do you need to do to get this? Because I want it. Like, can I just swap my black Camry for a black sedan, put the little flags on the front and go, I'm a diplomat now? Like, because I think Novak was trying to claim he was a diplomat at one point when he was trying to get into Australia.
Jeez.
I could have a go at that.
We might see him on a current affair soon.
Yeah.
For tearing up the streets, hoons for another country and everything. So,
Diplo-humes.
Yeah. They can't get deported for minor traffic infringements, but they can actually get deported for other things. There has to be something pretty bad, obviously, as we've heard. But officers, they're mostly blaming, the fact that there was that movie Lethal Weapon 2. That definitely hasn't helped out, because when it turns out the South Africans are a little bit arrogant when they get pulled over by the police. They're sick and tired of hearing this every single time.
Diplomatic immunity.
Just to rub it in a little bit more.
Power FM's Brad and Hutsy, weekdays from 6.
Tourism Australia, they have checked out all of Australia's 11,000 beaches, Hutsy.
Good luck with that.
Their experts have been combing the sands of each beach, probably with an actual comb to check how fine the sand is. Mm. Maybe, having a glass of it, swishing it around in their mouth and spitting it into a bucket like they're a sand connoisseur. Yeah, I don't know. I don't know how they test out what makes a great beach, but they've condensed that list of 11,000 beaches down to the top 20.
Controversial.
So they reckon this is the top 20 best beaches in Australia.
Okay, so obviously the next question is, how did we fare?
Well, we didn't do bad, because within the top 10 at number 8, Depo Beach.
Beautiful.
Up near South Durris. So that took our 8th spot. You had, places in Queensland, Tasmania, Victoria, South Australia. In the top 3, though, in at number 3, you had The Spit in Queensland, which you're like...
The Spit. Lovely name.
Named a beach after a big gobby. It's a place I want to visit. And then I got so excited by number 2. Right? Horseshoe Bay, New South Wales.
Ew.
I was like, Horseshoe Bay, Bermagui. Yes.
Woo.
Nailed it. It is a beautiful beach. I just naturally assumed that's it.
Yeah, that's the horseshoe. Yep.
Bam. Get on that, like Sapphire Coast Tourism, and start promoting that. That's massive. And then when I delved further, I realized, no, it's not Horseshoe Bay, Bermagui. It's Horseshoe Bay up between Port Macquarie and Nambucca Heads. It's up on the Central Coast. Horseshoe Bay up on the Central Coast. It's a big pile of horseshoe, you know what I'm saying? I don't know what's happened there.
I reckon we just say it's a typo. It's like, you just forgot to.
Well, again, you got to question what kind of procedures are in place to determine what the best beaches are. Mm. That, this Central Coast beach. And I've looked at photos of it, because straight away I'm like, well, this better be better than Horseshoe Bay, Bermagui. And I'm looking at the pictures like, I don't know what's happened here. Maybe it's like a wrong address or something. I don't know. And then you look at what made number one.
Okay.
Because, I was in tears after realizing the Burmese Horseshoe Bay didn't get up.
Wipe the tears from number 2. All right. Number 1.
I haven't cried that much about something involving beaches since the 1988 movie Beaches. When Hillary died.
Oh, no, don't ruin it.
She was the wing beneath Bette Midler's wings. She was. Anyway, number 1 spot. Misery Beach.
Oh, my God.
In Western Australia.
We should have locked them out like they locked us out of that countdown.
Like the name itself Misery. Should lock them out. Misery Beach. What is it? Named after the Stephen King movie with Kathy Bates? What? Who wants to go to Misery Beach?
It's a pretty miserable state at the moment, Western Australia.
Yeah. Apparently this beach is a 5-hour drive from Perth. Jeez, it's a hot day, kids. Jump in the car. Yeah. We're driving 5 hours to dip our toes in the waters at Misery Beach. Apparently it's home to a former whaling station, and the beach got its name because it used to be covered in blood and debris.
Oh, my God.
When it was operating as a whaling station.
And this is somewhere where people want to go.
Apparently, yeah. You didn't want to go there for Clean Up Australia Day, I know that. That was a rough couple of years at Misery Beach.
Wake up with Power FM's Brad and Hutsy.